You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Let's have a look back at 2019 through the eyes of a portfolio manager from Investec Asset Management in Cape Town. The person in question is John Bickard of Investec Value Fund. And John, every time I look at the Impala Platinum price, I think back to October of 2018, I think it was, when it was 16, 17 Rand a share, and you were probably feeling a little bit nervous. But this year you must have been in clover.
Yes, so 100% right. Just 15 months ago, it was 20 Rand and basically gone from 20 to 140 Rand in 15 months as finally the tightness in the PGM market started to show in the prices of palladium and rhodium. So it's been a fantastic run, but we did wait a long time for that. So it sounds very easy over the last year, but you know, we basically waited for 3 to 4 years prior to that with the share falling every day and buying it. So it was a good example for us of value investing, of sticking to your guns. And, you know, that was one of the longer periods that we've had to wait for something to come right.
Yes, at one point you must have felt that you had to throw in the towel. I know you're not the type of person that would do that, but it must have been nagging at the back of your mind. But never mind that. Let's have a look at what's happening today, because the situation is being exacerbated. When I look at the palladium over platinum premium, it's over $1,000 an ounce at the moment. Quite extraordinary what's happening in that PGM basket.
Yes, so the basket as a whole is still moving up, driven actually more by rhodium than palladium. So rhodium, I mean, palladium is very strong, but rhodium has actually been even stronger. I mean, rhodium is now $6,150. So that's even done better than palladium. And it's quite an unusual situation because now, because of the massive runs in palladium and rhodium, all three of those metals, including platinum, are roughly one third of the basket. So if you go back 3-4 years ago, it was really, you know, it's called the platinum sector, and these are called platinum shares because 60% of the volumes that come out the ground are platinum. And in the old days, you looked at the platinum price. And today, basically, platinum is just a third of the basket, and a third is in rhodium, and a third is in palladium. And you know, eventually that switching will happen. I mean, the premium now is, I think it's $1,000 is palladium is $1,000 higher than platinum.
Yes.
And, you know, long term, that is not sustainable. And because the efficiency of those two metals in catalytic converters is very similar. So, you know, and now if you go back a couple of years, you know, when palladium was $400, the price of a catalytic converter didn't really matter to motor manufacturers too much. But at $2,000, it's starting to hurt, and motor manufacturers don't make that bigger margins. You know, they make 5% margins building a car, and suddenly when you're paying an extra $100 for the metal in your exhaust pipe, you know, that can be a third of your profits on the car. So,
yeah.
So eventually we're going to see some switching out of palladium to platinum. But, you know, it's very difficult to call the three metals, but as a whole, they're in deficit, and the basket continues to move up.
Yes, it does. Can there be a quick switch? In other words, if somebody says, finally, someone wakes up in January and says, well, look at this thing now, it's $1,000. I'm paying $1,000 more for an ounce of palladium than I am of platinum. They go to their engineers and they go to their technical people and say, how easy is it for us to switch? To your mind, I mean, you're an expert, how quick is it to switch?
No, it's quite slow. I mean, the bottom line is, it's, I wouldn't say multi-year, but certainly a couple of year period, you know, that generally the motor manufacturer has to wait for the model to change. So, you know, they'll only upgrade, they'll only change once there's a new model launched, you know, which only happens every couple of years. So in my mind, it's kind of a 2-year event. And I suppose we're 1 year into this massive premium. So I would imagine right now, there are efforts by the motor manufacturers to switch, but we haven't seen it yet. So until that happens, the positioning in the metals markets in terms of the futures markets and ETFs will continue to be like this till we see a firm sign of it. And the only other thing is, this time around, probably the switching is a bit slower than usual because the motor manufacturers have sort of a bigger thing on their mind, which is the switch to electric vehicles that is happening at the same time, which is kind of preoccupying them. And they might be thinking, well, You know, we're moving 10% of our production to electric vehicles. Maybe, you know, we're not going to change this final switch on the combustion engine. So I think that's making the switch slower. But eventually it has to happen because they can't continue paying $2,000 for palladium and putting it in the exhaust pipes.
Quite right. Well put. What about your strategy when it comes to this extraordinary position that you built? I remember when it was around about 70 rand per share, and I'm talking about Impala now. This is my reference point. And you said, well, we're sort of targeting 120, and I'm not, I stand to correction here, but I seem to remember you saying 120. Obviously, with the weighting factor, you might have had to offload some of your holdings, but fundamentally, are you still long?
Yes, but we've basically sold very aggressively because exactly what you're saying, and you've got a good memory, 120 was where we thought kind of, if the fair value is where the risks are more evenly distributed. So we would want to have a normal position in Impala at 120, and that's what we have right now. So the share is 135 Rand today, and we're down to 4% in Impala. So, you know, that is, so we have basically sold 85% of our shares because we had 10% at 20 Rand. So you can imagine we had to sell an enormous amount at 4%. So yes, as it got to 120, we've normalized the position. And basically the position in the fund is now 6% platinum, which is 4% Impala and 2% Sibanye, which is slightly overweight the benchmark. That's not that we really worry about that. And in essence, it has played out like we hoped it to play out. And we told our investors that's our fair value. And I think it shows the discipline that we have in value investing, that it's a great story now. But the balance of risks is now evenly distributed from here because basically the share has gone up 7 times in 15 months, which in a flat market is extraordinary. And I must just say that I obviously, as a value investor, you see massive swings in sentiment. But I think Impala, in my whole experience as a value portfolio manager, I've never seen such a change when 15 months ago, Impala was considered to be uninvestable. You know, that if you had Impala, people said it's going bust and you're crazy to have any. And then after the share's gone up 7 times in 15 months, it's now one of the market favorites. And I can never remember, you know, usually that process takes 3 or 4 years for people to go from being uninvestable to a market darling. This has happened in 15 months. So it's quite extraordinary, which has been driven by the massive rise in the prices. But, you know, now the market cap is 110 billion rand, which is, you know, now a fair price. And we just think 6% is the right weighting here. Even though, as we discussed earlier, I think the bull market in the PGMs will continue. But the only difference is that it needs to continue now. You know, the pricing of the stock now requires that we need to be right, that the PGMs continue to stay at these levels or even go higher. And if they don't, you will lose money. Whereas when the share was 20 Rand, nothing good needed to happen. And that is in essence value investing because we don't really know for sure what the future holds. But when the share is priced in, you know, that there's no future for PGMs, that's a very good bet. But now the share is pricing in a good future for PGMs, which there probably will be. But if you're wrong, you know, you're exposed at this level. So we've taken the money. We've sold basically 90% of our position. And the good thing for us as value investors is, unlike 2016, when we had a good run in platinum and gold, there was very little else to buy in South Africa. But because of the problems in South Africa, which are well documented, there are a number of very cheap shares in South Africa. So we've been able to take that money and redeploy it in a lot of other shares, which, to be honest, we haven't had that chance for 5 years in South Africa.
We'll come to that in a moment. But it is an astonishing story, the one you've just related. And also, it's a great story, but every single commentator I speak to now, they talk about Impala. Well, Impala's doing this and that, and it's going to 250, etc. But you're out of it now. Let's talk about how you've deployed this cash, because you must have been awash with cash for a while, but also had some ideas in the background while you were selling as to what you would do. And as you've quite rightly said, there are so many bargains out there, but they can, as you know, as a value investor, they can become even more of bargains in the future.
Yes. So basically, we've had as much as 50% cash, you know, from selling Sibanye and Impala to redeploy. And we've put the money into three big ideas, which is Sappi, Exxaro, and Massmart. And those three stocks are now 30% of the fund between the three of them. And exactly what you're saying, we're probably early again on all these shares. But they have a lot of similarities to where Impala was 15 months ago, in that the shares have dropped 60, 70, 80%. They are hated by the market. They're very cheap, and there's no real reason to buy them right now because the story is not good. But we think in time the story will change. So Sappi has fallen from 100 Rand down to 40 Rand. And as a result of the dissolving wood pulp price falling, and much the same as when PGM prices were very low, now half the industry in dissolving wood pulp is losing money. So we don't think the dissolving wood pulp price is sustainable at this very low level. And Sappi is one of the lowest cost producers in the world. So with Sappi, there are actually, ironically, a lot of similarities to Impala, because, you know, there was a time when half the platinum industry was losing money 15 months ago. And we said that wasn't sustainable, and we don't think it's sustainable in the pulp market either. So a big position in Sappi. And then Exxaro has also come down quite a lot. And obviously Exxaro is iron ore in Kumba, which we actually think Kumba is fairly valued. But the real attractive thing of Exxaro, when you strip out Kumba, you're buying the SA coal business on 1 or 2 times earnings, which we think is too low, especially considering they have a lot of long-term contracts, take or pay, with Eskom, which are very steady annuity income. And then the last one is Massmart, which has fallen from 200 Rand down to 40 Rand.
Yeah.
And Massmart, we think, is the cheapest retail in South Africa. It's basically you buy a 100 billion revenue business for 10 billion Rand market cap. It's got a bit of debt, so maybe you pay 14 billion Rand enterprise value for the business to buy 100 billion revenue. And we like the brands. We like that it's 100% cash. It's obviously run into hard times because of the SA economy and because their costs have not been under control in the last year or two. But Walmart have changed the management, and we see eventually if they can get the costs under control and just a small uplift in revenue, you could see substantial earnings out of Massmart, which is not factored into the 40 Rand share price.
I was noticing the other day on my screen, actually, sorry to interrupt you, is that there was a 100-day update from the relatively new CEO, and then a day later the share price vaulted up 14, 15%.
Yes, so I think I think the update helped a bit. It's the first time he said anything since he's been there. But the real thing I think that got the share price going the other day was there was an upgrade from I think it was Merrill Lynch upgraded it from sell to buy, and actually that the share was obviously very, you know, very oversold, and that upgrade got the share going. There hasn't really been any fundamental news. And right now, you know, the economy is still flat on its back in South Africa, and it's hard to see the story now, but basically you're paying 15 billion Rand for 100 billion of revenue. It's a very attractive price to buy a cash retailer with as good a brand name as Massmart has.
Can 2020 possibly be as good as 2019 for Investec Value Fund?
So I think, you know, I don't think we're going to have shares that go up like Impala went up. I mean, that only happens once every 15 years. So no. But if I look at the stocks we have now in the portfolio, they are at very low levels. They're very cheap. And, you know, that goes a long way to setting the – so the way I like to see it is we've really harvested that position that we waited for 5 years, and we've replanted in things that we think in the next 5 years will do maybe not quite as well as Impala, but could do – you know, could double these shares. And so we're well positioned for the next 5 years, but whether it'll happen in the next 3 months or 6 months or years, hard to say, because, you know, in value investing, we don't know what the catalyst is. Because if we knew what the catalyst was, the share wouldn't be down where they are. So we may have to wait again, but we've taken the profits as we promised the investors, and we've kind of replanted for the future.
maybe not quite as spectacular as 2020, but also maybe as 2019, excuse me, but not as long as the 5 years that you had to wait for Impala. Yeah, let's hope so.
No, it would be very unlikely. And also, I think it's important to see that the portfolio is now diversified. So kind of, if you go back 2 years ago, we really had a platinum portfolio. I mean, at one stage, 40, 50% of the portfolio is in platinum. Today, we've got SAPIG, Zara, Massmart, then we've got a whole bunch of mid-caps in South Africa like Cashbuild, Lewis, Caxton. And then we've got 30% offshore. And maybe I just need to say one thing about the offshore portfolio.
Yes, please.
Which has got about a third of the offshore portfolio is in UK domestic stocks. So
so this morning you're happy.
Yes, this morning we are happy. And I think, obviously, you know, it would have been a disaster, obviously, if Labour had got in, which was always going to be unlikely. But UK domestic shares, and I'm talking about UK retailers, stocks like Royal Mail Group, Marks & Spencer, are unbelievably cheap. I mean, they're basically as cheap as South African shares, I mean, in absolute terms. So you've just got to sit back and say, I can go and buy these shares in the UK on the same sort of dividend yields and PEs in sterling, where the bond yield is 1% or 2% in sterling, as I can in South Africa, where the bond yield is 9%. And that gives you an idea of how cheap UK domestic shares, because we've had terrible economy there, and obviously Brexit for 3 years now has been overhanging that market. So, you know, globally, everyone has just said it's much like the people said about Impala, you know, the UK is uninvestable because of the Brexit. Today, that situation has really been resolved. For better or for worse, it's been resolved. And you can go and build yourself a portfolio of domestic UK shares on a 6% pound dividend yield. It's, you know, I think it'll go down as a chance every 10 years as well. So, you know, the see-through weighting is about 10% that we've got of the whole fund is in domestic UK shares. So we're quite excited about that.
And I've heard from certain of your colleagues, when you look at the price-to-book value of certain UK domestic-leaning shares, at multi-decade lows. I mean, it really is an opportunity there.
It's an opportunity because, you know, the UK doesn't, in our view, have a fundamental problem. You know, they don't have any structural problems. You know, the Brexit has been a thing overhanging. And you can imagine the pent-up demand in the UK if you're in a and actually, I must just add, we've also got quite a big position in the South African portfolio, which is, you know, this is a UK, owns 8 of the top 20 malls in the UK. And, you know, it's been the perfect storm against that, because not only have you been had the shift to online, but you've had Brexit. So I don't think there's a more hated area on the planet than UK shopping malls. But you can imagine after 3 years of this overhang, how much pent-up demand there is in the UK that you get a reasonable Brexit outcome. You know, you could have a 1 or 2 very good years for UK retail, because really nothing's happened there for 3 years.
John Bickell, thank you very much for your insight. Well done on a great 2019 for yourself and your investors. That's John Bickell, Portfolio Manager responsible for Investec Value Fund. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.